Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, July 21st, 2011. Well, there was an interesting discussion on the Word Guild listserv recently, which began with the question, as an author, would you pay someone to do your social media marketing for you? Things like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, etc. Well, unless you've been hiding in a cave, the use of social media and how to use it to make money for you has been a topic amongst authors, musicians, and other artists. My experience with social media, I use Facebook and Twitter at the moment, is that it helps get the word out, but it's only part of a multifaceted marketing campaign that includes paid advertising, word of mouth, promotional bits, such as interviews for radio, television, and print. Social media in and of itself won't sell your art for you. I was fortunate that when Chasing the Wind was released, my publisher put me in contact with the public relations marketing firm that helped me with social media. They took a look at what I was doing, how I was doing it, and made some helpful suggestions. I have to admit, I'm a bit of a novice when it comes to using social media, so their input was invaluable. But would I hire someone to do my social media marketing for me? No. After listening to their advice, I'm the one that's posting on Twitter, and for the most part on Facebook. My Robert White author fan page has another administrator who infrequently posts something that I may have missed, but I think the personal contact is an important part of the artists and audience interaction. What do you think? Would you as an artist ever hire or have hired someone to do your social media marketing for you? Send me an email to share on air to robert@selawministries.ca. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. Keep listening and I'll repeat that email address at the end of the show.
Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart. Set me free. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart. Set me free. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart. Set me free. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart. Set me free. You who walk upon the water, you who make the blind one see, and in the mystery of mercy, we become what we're to be. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart, set me free. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart, set me free. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart, set me free. Lord, my hope is in your mercy. Change my heart, set me free. You who walk upon the water, you who make the blind one see, and in the mystery of mercy, we become what we're to be. Lord, my hope is in your mercy.
My Hope is in Your Mercy is a track from the CD We Will Not Be Silent, produced by Winnipeg St. Benedict Table, a worshiping community in the Anglo tradition that lives and breathes art as part of its expression of faith and life. Well, for the past 20 years, Steve Munshaw has served as a full-time music pastor in congregations across the country. A pioneer in the Christian arts climate, he's been finding ways to encourage artists to become outstanding in sacred and secular community. As the arts pastor on Church on the Queensway, Steve has been involved with the Queensway Center for the Arts, and he's on the phone with us tonight to talk about the project. Good evening, Steve.
Hey there, how are you doing?
Not bad. Now, you've been ministering as a music pastor for the last couple of decades. How did God lead you into that ministry?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, and music was always a part of our upbringing in Western Canada. All over small little towns, and we moved down to Vancouver, and it was something that I was able to connect with a couple of local congregations and really grow and develop into. But I've always had a passion for the performing arts and musical theater and stuff that was very much larger than life in our local churches.
So what's kept you going in this area of ministry?
Well, I mean, I think something that really impacted my life was when I was a kid, I actually went to a very large church in Vancouver, and I saw a presentation of the Easter production, and it was one of the most powerful experiences that I had up until that time. And from a very early age, I said, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to be able to impact people artistically. And so it was a passion that started at a very young age and has really kind of just kept me going all of these years.
So what's changed in worship ministry in these two decades?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much that's happened over the last couple of decades that we've seen. I mean, we've seen the whole explosion of worship music around the globe. And even, I think, the excellence in church music has risen to new levels. I mean, mm-hmm. We saw that with the rise of integrity music and Hillsong and all of the things that happened musically, and then it got out to the masses. Well, all of a sudden, pastors weren't asking for just kind of a couple of songs, but they wanted a whole worship band with skills of the people that were playing on the records, and it really pushed not only the congregations to demand a little bit more from their musicians, but it also encouraged the musicians to take a stronger look at how they're playing and what they could do with their own ability. So it really allowed them to rise to a new level, I think, around the world, because we all aspire to become better musicians, artists, singers, and dancers. And so it really pushed the envelope, 20, 30 years ago. And I think we still continue to see that in our churches. I think there's a great demand for excellence in the arts and excellence in worship. I think we can turn on the television anytime, and we see stuff on TV, and we want to experience the same level of that when we go to church. And so the demands, even in our local congregations, mm-hmm. Still remain there.
Well, and not only that whole demand for excellence and looking at excellence in both in the musicianship, but also in how the worship music is presented, but also that global influence has brought a variety of different musical styles into play.
Yeah, absolutely. There's all kinds of stuff out there, from Caribbean influences to African, and down in the U.S., and even some Asian influences are starting to raise their head in our worship music. And it's a very exciting time in worship music, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at where you, going back to your youth, when you saw the Easter production, and now working as a worship pastor and a pastor of the arts, how has that broadened your appreciation of the use of the arts within the church context?
Well, I think, going back several hundreds of years, the church was at the forefront of the arts, and they were leaders and innovators, and they were really on the edge, and some of it was quite controversial. But I think that over time, the church lost some of that edginess, and we saw that, in the last couple of hundred years. But I think that the church has an opportunity right now to take its place again. When we look back in the Old Testament and the excellence of David and Solomon and what they were able to do with choirs and orchestras and the arts, I mean, they brought the finest of craftsmen in. And my desire has always been, as far as I've been in ministry, to see a people with incredible skills and giftedness not only be recognized for what they do, but what they could bring to a church community and increase the level of artistic beauty in worship and in the church in general. I think that a lot of times we undervalue the artist. We don't give the artist or singers his enough recognition. You know, they're kind of a sad standby act. But I really feel that God is allowing us to really look at the arts once again and say, how can we become innovators? What can we do to get into our communities to say, hey, we the church support the arts. We support what God is doing. And I think more than anything, Christians should have an edge artistically. They should be really given the most opportunity than any artist ever gets, because they only not only have a church community that supports them, but they're very good at what they do, and they can are able to get into the secular community and really be recognized for their skills and abilities. So I really feel like we have an opportunity to embrace the arts like never before, if we're really willing to take some risks.
Well, and it's not just the musician, the musical aspect as well. I mean, if you go back into Scripture, you see the in Exodus where Bezalel was gifted by God to create the arts for the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And there's even a broadening now of acceptance within the church of painting, fine art, sculpting, and that as well. Is that something that you see is starting to explode as well?
Well, that's right, because we've just, you know, in churches, we really focused on the musical gift. But there's so many other artistic gifts that are out there that I think we need to recognize as well. Like you're saying, visual gifts and a lot of the painting, art, sculpture, theater can rise to those levels as well. And I think, you know, I think that people are tired of seeing people in bathrobes present a gospel message. I think there's a demand out there to say, hey, why can't we do things that's just as good as the world is doing, if not better? And so really that's kind of my aspiration, is to bring all of these artistic gifts together to say, let's do our absolute best in all areas of artistic endeavors to present the gospel to the very best. I mean, Paul said that, right? I'm going to use any method, whatever I can, to present the gospel. And I think that's imperative that the church rise up with our artistic gifts and say, we're going to just shout the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with every artistic form and medium available.
When we're looking at this, is there a difference in what's happening within arts in the church and in the world in general, and specifically of what's happening within Canada?
Well, I think that Canada is a little bit slower to rise to its calling. I think the U.S. has been far more progressive in all areas of artistic endeavors, even Australia, we've seen have really taken huge leaps forward in so many different ways. Even dance and all kinds of things have happened that kind of put us to shame here. But I believe that God is, you know, the great thing about Canada is that we're able to embrace the nations because we're such a diverse cultural nation. And we're able to weave a lot of those things. And so what we're seeing in Canada is a lot of the different cultural churches are rising up artistically, which is very exciting. And they're doing things within their own local churches, bringing in dance and arts within their own cultural context to reach people for Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. which is just phenomenal. And so, you know, when you bring all of those cultural ideas together and I think there's some very exciting things that can happen. So that's pretty unique. I don't see that happening a lot in other nations. I mean, it probably is, but in Canada, I feel like that's very unique to what we're doing here.
So that whole cultural, cultural mosaic aspect is actually a strength when it comes to dealing with arts within the Canadian church.
Yeah, I really believe that. It's quite unique to what we see here, and I really feel like there's not very many walls, even denominationally, and so I think that we're able to embrace other churches, even within our own cultural differences and diversity. We're able to embrace them and bring them together and support and encourage the other churches, which is really great. You know, whereas in some other nations, I think that the walls are too high that people just can't even look over to the other side to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. What we need to do is we need to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Church on the Queensway Arts Pastor Steve Munshaw, and specifically talk about the Queensway Center for the Arts. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Well, welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to He Walked from St. Benedict's Table, Beautiful Mercy CD, part of the Beautiful Mercy project that includes prose, poetry, art, photography, then a contemporary look at the Book of Hours. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Munshaw. Steve, where did this whole idea for an art center come from?
Well, it's been a passion of mine, once again, to really support artists and individuals that have strong gifts, and I think too often we release them into other endeavors without having a real strong look at what they can bring to the table within a Christian context as well. But one of the things I really have struggled with is looking at Christian artists that have such amazing talents and giftedness, and they're not able to be supported. And I say, Church, we've got to rise up. We've got to be able to look at these key individuals and say, how can we incorporate them into our local church? How can we support them and fund them? How could they even make a living underneath the roof of the four walls of a church? And that really pushes the boundaries to so many people, because I think we're so used to saying, well, the only people that can be supported is the senior pastor and maybe a couple of support staff that will help those endeavors. But I think that looking back into the Old Testament, there was a different way of doing ministry, and they really recognized so much diversity even within an artistic culture and background.
Well, and that's a challenge. I mean, I talk to so many artists who, when they are asked to do something for their congregation or for their church, and I'm talking everybody from painters to sculptors to writers, you know, when they talk to and they breach the subject about payment, it's the old line that comes back as, well, this is ministry, it's free. Is it hard to get over that hump to recognize that the worker is worthy of their pay?
It's a huge hump to get over, but I think it's a matter of educating the not only the congregation but the leadership within churches to say there's something that these people are bringing to the table. I mean, let's face it, a lot of these people have gone through their entire education to become professionals. They put thousands of dollars in to become a professional, and then they walk into a church context, and the church doesn't have any room for them. Mm-hmm. I feel like we really need to have another look at this. And so the whole idea of a Center for Performing Arts within a Christian context has really kind of been heavy on my heart, because I want to support these kind of individuals. I want to see them just succeed in every area of the arts, you know? So why can't I bring in an actor or a singer and pay them the equivalent of what they're receiving in the world context? If they paid their dues, and if they've gone to college, and if they know their stuff just like a professional, mm-hmm. be able to bless them just as much as they're getting blessed in any other area.
Well, how long is this taking to get set up?
Well, you know, it really has been a process of many years, going across Canada and working in different churches, sharing my passion and vision with various pastors and leaders, and coming to the Church on the Queensway now and really connecting with the leadership here. They really have embraced this whole vision, and they really want to see it move forward, which is very exciting. A couple of the challenges that we have in the Toronto area, for sure, is building a strong regular audience, because we don't have a real strong radio presence right in Toronto. And so to say this is what's happening on a regular basis at a venue that you don't need to make this your home church, but you can come and see a concert or a production or an event that will encourage you and your faith, and go back home and bless your own congregation. Yeah. So I think that's a new kind of way of thinking, because many times we're so focused on building our own local church that we stop it there. But I think that if you recognize that your church is a venue, it's a house of encouragement, many people will come into your house, they'll be built up, and then they'll be sent out. I think that's a very refreshing way of looking at our mm-hmm. buildings, you know?
So this isn't just for something specifically for Queensway itself. You're hoping to serve the broader community, both the church community and the secular community with this ministry.
Yeah, 100% yes and amen. I mean, it really is going to be a place where we embrace the artists from various churches. We embrace patrons and people that come in to watch a presentation, and we recognize that they're not going to make Church on the Queensway their local church. They're going to go home, and they're going to say, that was a fantastic thing, and we want to be able to say, I'm going to come again, because I recognize the quality and the excellence that's going to be presented there is going to be of a very high standard.
Now, one of the challenges I see happening, that I see going on, is recognizing that artists who work within a secular perspective, who are Christians, have just as valid a ministry as someone who is doing something implicitly Christian. Is that something that you're going to work on and going to sort of challenge the church with?
Can you restate that question? Because I'm really not sure.
Well, looking at the fact that there are artists out there who work specifically within a secular perspective, either, you know, working as an actor, working as a sculptor, or a painter whose work isn't implicitly Christian, but yet comes from the Christian worldview. Is this something that is going to be a challenge to get people within the church to really understand that it doesn't matter where you're serving, as long as you've got a solid relationship with God, your ministry is going to be valid anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the artist, it's a very interesting discussion, because I've had conversations with artists about, you know, art for art's sake, and because it is art, and art in a Christian context, and what does that mean, and what does it look like? Is it explicitly, overtly Christian in order to be Christian? It's a very interesting and complex conversation. But and one of the challenges that artists have is they tend to push the boundaries a lot of times. And so you people become very uncomfortable with some art out there, for sure, and some of it's completely inappropriate, and some of it is readily embraced. But I think that artists are always walking a very fine line of who is their demographic, and who should embrace their art, and who are they going after, who do they want to target. Some people want to target the general masses and appeal to them. Some people want to be very specific in their art, and they want to cater to a Christian demographic. And so their art reflects that very specifically. I think that it is a real challenge that faces artists because they have to answer that question. But it also it's a real artist that faces the church. For instance, if you want a great piece of art and you want to hire an artist to go out and bring something to the church, you may just want a wonderful landscape. Well, you know, it would be great to say we've got a database of artists that could supply that need that's not overtly Christian. It's not Jesus, being embraced by Mary at the cross or something like that. It's a wonderful piece of art, but it's done by a Christian artist. Well, I think even the development of something like that in Canada is extremely necessary so that those artists can be supported by the local church and we understand what's out there, what they're bringing to the table. And I think we do have the tools and means to create something like that. But it's definitely a challenge that's in front of the artist.
Now, looking at what Queensway is doing with the Queensway Centre for the Arts, is that going to be sort of a microcosm of artists being able to do their art within that context?
I really hope so. I think that the need is great across Canada. And Canada, I believe, is recognized as a very artistic nation. So I would love to see the church across Canada look at a model that we're trying to set up and present and say, we can replicate this model in our cities. We can do this, and it can be viable. And I'm working with some strong promoters that are right now doing events across Canada. Well, I hope that some of the things that we're doing, we can actually replicate in centers, for sure.
Great. Where can people get more information about this?
info@thechurch.to. That's it.
info@thechurch.to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Steve, thanks very much for your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Steve Munshaw, and be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and the Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter @selaw13, S-E-L-A-W 13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.